Hey, y'all. Welcome to Latte and Laundry. I'm Suzanne Bilodeau, and I am so honored to be with you here as we navigate motherhood, wifehood, sisterhood, and everything in between. This is a podcast for my fellow imperfect people who want to grow in greater communion with our most perfect God. So join me and my friends as we laugh, cry, dive deep, and explore with one another as we journey towards stilling our souls while moving our world. Another episode here. I am Suzanne, your friend, your host, your fellow sister in Christ, and yeah, just so happy to have you guys back here for another episode here at Latte and Laundry. It is late tonight, so if I get a little silly, you'll know why. I'm a little overtired, but there's just stuff that I wanted to that's been on my heart that I wanted to get on and chat with you guys about. My daughter is gone at her prom this evening. At her homeschooling academy that she goes to a couple of days a week, they do prom, and they actually do it for all 4 years. So it's like an extra bonus treat. And I just had a lot of heavy heart moments tonight, realizing how big my kids are getting, how old my oldest is. But it's quiet now, even though it's late into the evening, because my husband and my two boys are gone on their annual fishing tournament weekend that they always do every year together. My boys come and help my husband work at a tournament my husband does with his fishing club. And then they get to just kind of like hang out, be with all the guys and the men, eat some good food, and go fishing and romping around with my husband for the weekend. And so they love this weekend, and they've been looking forward to it. So I'm home with the little three girls and just had some stuff on my heart that I wanted to get on and share with all of you guys and just kind of dive into a couple of things. So I want to start us off with our opening Bible verse today, which is Matthew 15:11, which says, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Okay, y'all. I've talked a lot on the podcast over the last chunk of years about just how important our words are. And you guys, this is probably the place in which I have to run to the confessional the most, just because I'm so aware of how important our words are, and yet I slip and fall and just get exhausted and weary and burnt out and lose my temper or say things I wish I didn't say, especially to the little souls in my home. And so it's just so important that our words breathe life into our children's hearts. And I just love this opening Bible verse that it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. And I love this because this is just following up after the Pharisees and scribes were giving Jesus a hard time for his disciples breaking the tradition of the elders, for they weren't washing their hands before they eat and all this stuff. And it's at this point that Jesus makes a point to the crowds to just say, listen, understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's actually what comes out of the mouth. So much that gets stirred by just our human nature within our souls, that we often, it is by doing things with our mouth, i.e. whether it's losing our temper or saying things we wish we didn't say to our children or our spouse or gossip or whatever it is, but it's that is actually poisoning the soul, right? But today I want to get very specific. I don't want to talk about just this general idea about how our words can either breathe life or death into the hearts of our children, which I feel very passionate about. I actually want to talk about one specific word, and it might seem odd to spend a whole podcast, short as it may be, on one word, but I think it's really important that we start to really reflect and be intentional with the things that come out of our mouth. And I did a series a while back. I think it was the first year of Latte and Laundry when Julie and I were still doing it together. We did a series around the dangerous D words. Check that out if you have not listened to that. I think it's in maybe the fall of the first year, which would have been 2021. And that was really powerful because it was just this movement of some things that God was placing on my heart, of some words we just used and took for granted that had some major implications. And here I am again with another word that the Lord has put on my heart. And this time it's not a D word, it's an SH word. And don't worry, my friends, I promise you, I am not going to be swearing on this episode. It's another SH word that I think we use frequently in the way that we communicate about certain things, and we don't even realize the powerful impact and the implications that it actually has. But recently I was specifically like, I was on a run and I was just reflecting about a lot of things, and I found myself having almost like this inner dialogue where I kept saying should, I should have, or should have, or he should have, or we should have, and all this stuff. And I just started realizing the danger that comes from this word should. And I just wanted to really highlight this word. And I think it's something that my own mother and wife heart wants to really start to pay attention to with regards to how I use this word in my own home. So what is bad about using the word should, right? Well, firstly, it implies this sense of judgment, right? If I tell myself I should do something, then I'm laying out this expectation of it actually being done. And if I don't do it, then I'm falling short or failing in some way, right? The word should, I read an article on Psychology Today that was just talking about the fact that the word should is inherently negative. Using this word results in actually feelings of inadequacy, anxiety, frustration, and self-rejection. This all makes so much sense, right? And it's funny because y'all know I love to look up the etymology of a word. And as I was praying about this and reflecting on it and just really doing research on the word should, I found that it came from an old English word called sealed. And I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation, guys. I apologize for this. But it's spelled S-C-E-O-L-D-E, the past tense of seal. S-C-E-A-L, which is related to shall. And what's interesting is the definition and its origin of shall in the verb form, such like should, is to owe, ought, must, under obligation of. And this is sourced from an old High German word or an old English related past tense form of the verb of sealed, S-C-Y-L-D. Which definition was guilt, debt. You guys, right there. This is wildly interesting because this is often the experience that we have with the word should. Now let's think about that for a second. All too often we throw around the word should, and it has this guilt implication. If you do not accomplish what should be done, or you're not meeting the expectations of what should be met at this point, there's this overwhelming sense of guilt of failure. There is these negative connotations with the word that we don't even intend when we use it in our daily lingo that we impose upon others and upon ourselves. How often, my friends, are you in that boat where you're saying, I should have done this. I should be doing that. That is so much of the dangerous inner dialogue that we have just within our own hearts and souls. And we often project similar things like that out onto our loved ones, our spouses, our children, right? And now don't get me wrong. There are some appropriate places where the word should applies, right? Like at the end of a statement, there should be a period. There are some places and ways in which the word should doesn't necessarily have this overpowering negative connotation. But this is where we have to be so, so careful with our words, because the danger that it does carry with it can be bigger than we often realize. And this isn't just for ourselves, right? Like we have that, like that inner dialogue I was saying, where we say things like, oh, I should have baked those cookies for that PTA meeting, or I should have my kids reading more in the afternoon and not let them watch television, or I should make a homemade meal tonight even though I'm slammed and burnt out and I have easier options in front of me. I should. And there's just so much danger in this because it starts to create this inner dialogue within ourselves that creates this sense of guilt, right? It might sound like if we say should, it would encourage us to focus on what needs to be done, right? Like it can help us, guiding us towards our goal, right? Like, oh, I should try to eat less sweets in the evening, or I should. That's all like the intention often behind the should may be beautiful and good, right? But when we actually allow the word to take place and make a way into the home of our heart, there's often a negative response to it. There's often this like knee-jerk reaction to actually rebel against it, or at least feel resentful of it. Because rather than actually empowering us to do something, it actually reinforces and has us focus in on what we are not doing. So for example, if you were having this just kind of like sadness in your heart that you haven't been making time for your friends as much as you wish you could, or whatnot, when we use the word should, even within our own inner dialogue, I should be making more time with my friends, I should be spending more time with them, our hearts actually focus on what we are failing to do, rather than actually encouraging us to do what we desire to do. It turns our hearts and our brains more focused on the negative, what we are lacking, this just inadequacy that we set upon ourselves, rather than encouraging us to move forward towards our goals and what we desire. So we could see that it actually sparks this negative series of emotions, even if we're not fully aware of it, right? We have that guilt we were talking about. And when other people use the word should with us, we often experience shame. You should have cleaned that up better. You should have known better. You should have done this with your children, or you should have done this at your job. The word should just often instantly imposes a deeper level of shame that is not worthy of the situation at hand. And on top of that, it also can elicit this great emotion and dangerous emotion of envy. For example, you see your friend using this curriculum in their homeschooling way that they do with their family. And you just start thinking, oh, I should be able to pull off that kind of curriculum too with my kids, or I should be doing those crafts with my kids. Not only are you experiencing that, just that shame of inadequacy, but it can build up even deeper resentment and emotions of envy, right? You see your girlfriend, for example, I don't know, has a gorgeous garden somehow that she's able to maintain with the chaos of her life. And you look upon it and you say, I should have a garden like that. Or a friend of yours whose husband is highly involved and never travels, I should have a husband who's at home and present a lot more and doesn't travel because he's busy with his job. There's just so much danger with this word that just elicits all these other symptomatic negative emotions that come from simply the word. And we can often even compare to ourselves, our prior selves, right? Like, I should have already lost this weight by now, or I should be doing this by now, right? And that's dangerous. In fact, it's super dangerous. One of the reasons why that's super dangerous is it often just takes us out of the present moment. And you've heard me talk about this on the podcast a lot, actually, with the summer series I did last summer with my dear friend, Jonna. We talked a lot about that when we did our book study on abandonment to divine providence. But it's just dangerous when we focus on should, we're focusing on what we are not doing oftentimes, and it takes us out of the present moment. It also has the danger of creating judgment. It should be this or should be that by now. And I think when I was thinking of just this idea of like breathing life into our children's hearts and our spouse and whatever, should is a really dangerous opening, a foothold to judgment within our hearts. We talked about how it can make us feel inadequate, but we can also pour this out onto our spouse or our children. They should be more grateful. He should pay more attention to me. All these things that these really come from beautiful and true and honest and authentic desires from our heart. But the word should in and of itself is highly dangerous, right? Like and I think one of the things too that I've thought about with my kids, that as I was reflecting on, all six of my kids are wildly different. Like what they excel in or struggle with, whether they're extroverted or introverted, whether they're athletic or artistic, my kids are all so wildly different. And as I was reflecting on that and praying about it, I was just really realizing that, again, this idea that like God makes no mistakes. He has perfectly crafted each child as as he desires them to be. No mistakes. That doesn't mean, for example, like if your kid is really struggling to, be loving, that we're not called to be training and guiding them to do this. Because of course we are. But like I have kids who have wildly different capacities for when they learn to walk, when they learn to read. I mean, all over the board. And if we live by the world's standards of should, there starts to become this immense amount of inner pressure and this sense of inadequacy. And if we start to believe that our children are inadequate for whatever reason, they will surely pick up on that from us, right? We will project that back out on them, right? Because should indicates that there's a correct and right way to do things. It's that idea. I remember when so almost all my children started walking super young. My firstborn, she was like 8.5 months old. All of my kids were walking by 10 months, except my thirdborn. And he was walking at 14 months. And he definitely has like motor skill delays and things different than my other children. But it's this idea of we start to swell up with anxiety and frustration when we say things like, oh, he should be, if I had looked at him and like, he should be walking by now. And there was an indication that he was going to be more slowly developed in this way than his siblings. But that puts this like inner dialogue in my heart that there is something wrong with him. And I think it's super dangerous when we do this, especially with things like, as a homeschooling mom, I see that too. I have kids that were reading at 3 and kids who weren't really able to read that well until 9 and 10. And I think if we do these shoulds and we allow those shoulds to take home within our hearts, we will start to have an anxiety and a fear in our motherhood and how our children are stacking up by the world standards, if you will, that we may unfortunately project our disappointment and our fear back on our children, right? It's like that kid that you thought would be reading by now and their other siblings were reading far before them. You can just start getting super frustrated. And that child who struggles to read surely does not need the judgment or the pressure from mama because she is living with this intense should in her heart of he should be doing this by now. They should be doing that by now. And so it's just super dangerous. One of the ways in which we can kind of start to try to like change that narrative in our own hearts, right? Is that we can take a turn to replace the word shoulds with other things. For example, could. Instead of saying to ourselves, I should try to bake those cookies for the meeting tomorrow, and instantly putting on that guilt and that shame if we aren't able to pull it off. Replace should with I could. I could try to bake those cookies for the meeting tomorrow. It's almost like you're encouraging yourself without feeling this immense pressure of that you failed if you don't get it done, right? I could try to bake those cookies tomorrow for that meeting. I could try to take some time this afternoon and snuggle with my daughter. All these things that are good and beautiful that simply by replacing the SH with a C can have a wildly different impact in the way your heart receives your own inner dialogue. And then want, right? Like for example, working out. I want to work out today. I really desire to take the kids to the park this afternoon. I want to. It's so different than I should work out. I should get the kids to the park, right? It speaks into desires rather than just like pressuring with a shame. And so I'm like just on this journey of like really starting to pay attention to the words that I use both exteriorly, like what comes out of my mouth, like telling my, like not slipping into the patterns of telling one of my kids, like, you should know this by now. You should have learned this by now. You should know better. Like all these shoulds are just really powerful in, unfortunately, more often than not, a negative way, right? So I'm just becoming more and more aware of the power of specific words. And it's not just always the tone and the tempo that we say things, but often too, it can include just the words in which we use. And I don't think we often think about something as simple as the word should, right? I think it just puts an extreme amount of pressure. And St. Camilla's has this awesome quote, so simple, says, think well, speak well, do well. These three things through the mercy of God will make a man go to heaven. Again, think well, speak well, do well. And I just love that it starts with this think, right? It is that, it's being a guardian over your own interior thoughts that are so important and powerful that we stop that. So maybe you cut off the should out and outside. You don't say the words should to your children or your spouse anymore, right? Which would take a lot of practice for me because it's definitely something that I've just muscle memory, almost like habit to use that. And not like I use it a lot, but it's definitely something I would love to be able to like really strip from much of my language. But to stop it before it's even out of your mouth, to stop it interiorly, right? That will rip from your heart these like really muddied places of your soul that still struggle, whether it's with judgment or fear or shame. And God desires to come into those places and really tend to them so that we are free and we are not living under this heavy weight of should within our souls, right? And one simple way to just remind ourselves just how simply dangerous the word should is to remember that a SH word will only lead more often than not to another SH word. And I promise you guys, I'm still not swearing on this podcast. I will not and I do not. But that should will often only lead to shame, whether that's interior shame or projecting shame out onto your children or to your spouse or to the people that you love dearly. And you know that's not the desire of our hearts. We don't desire to shame people. That is not the way we will get the results that we desire. You want your kid to read. You want your kid to excel at anything that they're going after. You want your kid to remember to put their shoes away. You want your husband to pay attention to you. You want your husband to help you out with the chores. Whatever it is that you're struggling with other people, on top of the things that you're struggling with your own self, shame will never produce fruit. I can promise you that. So should, which often only produces a sense of inadequacy and shame, is just something that we can all invite ourselves to working to remove from the depths of our own interior thoughts and exterior words. And so let me close us up in prayer, my lovely friends. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for being just a generous and loving Father, one who desires nothing but our good, who does not shame us in our mistakes and our errors and our lack of virtue and our worldly sense of inadequacies. Instead, you delight in us and desire to call us closer to your heart at all times. I pray that you can just pour out this sense of goodness and love within our souls so that they may be filled and overflowed with your goodness, so that we can remember with a tender and gracious heart that we do not desire to shame anyone that you put in our path, and that you, our most perfect Father, surely do not want us sitting under the weight of a shame, because that is not who you are. Though you may call to mind our errors and our transgressions so that we can strip them from our lives and be drawn more closely to you in this intimacy, shame is never your pathway. Lord, I pray that we can just continue to be guardians of our own thoughts and our own words so that we can breathe life into those that we love, our children, our spouses, and all those that we encounter, so that they may come to know you through our love of them. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, my lovely friends, I have a request of you. If you're listening to this episode, and I know it's the closing of the episode, so you might have already turned off the podcast episode. I probably should have asked about this in the beginning. I am praying about what summer book series we're going to do this summer. We've been doing this for the last couple summers, and people have really loved the book series that we did. I did I Believe in Love with my sweet friend Sarah two summers ago, and then last summer I did Abandonment to Divine Providence with my good friend, Jana. And I'm really praying about what book we should do this summer. It's always such a good, powerful movement of my own heart to dive deep into these books. And I've only heard amazing, similar things from you guys. So if you have, I have a couple ideas kind of twirling around in my heart. But if anybody is super passionate and fiery about a book they want to do together, please send me an email at suzanne@latteandlaundry.com as I am going to be spending the next chunk of weeks praying about it before I dive into whatever book series that is that we're going to do. I hope you all have a blessed and holy and good week, and I cannot wait to catch up with you guys next week. God bless.